Hey, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of the Vegan Ari Show. I am your host, Vegan Ari, and I am joined today, as always, by my dangerous husband, Miko Alon.
Hi, guys. Being on the show makes me feel like a dangerous woman.
Ooh, Ariana Grande. Thank you, Miko, for that. And thank you so much for listening. We have a fabulous show in store for you today. We're going to open the show talking all about politics and current events, and then we'll be moving on to the new vegan product segment. This week, we are tasting the vegan chicken fillets by VFC. And then we'll be closing out the show with vegan animal rights news. Now, before we get started, I just want to encourage everyone, if you would like to catch up with me or with Miko during the week, please feel free to do that on Twitter. I am at Vegan Ari and Miko is at Miko Alon, or you can use our hashtag Vegan Ari Show. And remember, if you enjoy our podcast, please consider leaving us a review and subscribing on Apple or Spotify or wherever you consume your podcasts. And just one last thing, if you wouldn't mind helping us spread the word about the show, you know, we're always trying to get more listeners and subscribers and the show is free. So anything you could do to help us out, we would greatly, greatly appreciate. So you can retweet me when I tweet about the show. And Miko, you wanted me to say, do it now.
Do it right now.
Yeah. If you're listening to the show and you're like, you know, I should really do that. We'll give you, here's a pause. Okay, thank you for doing that. Thank you for retweeting. You can also make your own social media post about the show. You can post about it on your own Facebook or your own Twitter, or you can post about it maybe in a Facebook group that you're in or a Reddit. I think that goes a long way to help spreading the word. Now let's talk about money. You can take out some commercials. I'm talking about, you know, some maybe TV ads during a very high profile event. I'm talking like the Super Bowl or the Oscars or the VMAs are tonight. I mean, I'm available for filming. If you want to get a quick one in before the VMAs, we can do like a quick filming. I love that. We can do billboards, photo shoots work, bus ads, skywriting airplanes. No matter how big or how small, no matter how much money or how free, we appreciate all of it. So we are sending a big thank you to everyone who's helped us spread the word, especially all of you who retweet every week. We really do appreciate that. And we're sending a big thank you to everyone if you are about to help us spread the word, even if it is for the very first time. Thank you so much. Okay, Miko, with all that being said, let's get down to business. I want to start the show this week with a PSA. I had an accident this week, and I'm going to talk about it because I need to let I want to warn everybody else. I was at the mall, my favorite place. Everyone knows I love the mall. I'm from New Jersey. I have a very, very big place in my heart for malls. Doing some shopping, and I fell, thankfully, up and not down an escalator. And when I fell, to break my fall, I the escalator cut the shit out of me. I mean, I...
Now, okay, dear listeners, escalators... to clarify, you have one cut at the bottom of your palm.
Okay, but if I had fallen anywhere else, I would have never cut myself. I want to know, who the fuck, when they decided to invent an escalator, said that escalators have to be made out of knives? I mean, escalators are so sharp. And then I started thinking about it. I'm like, well, escalators are really treacherous. Do you know that like thousands of people are hurt on escalators every year? And in fact, one person got eaten by an escalator and died that I read about. Escalators are really dangerous. So my PSA is this. If you're going to get on an escalator, just be careful because they're dangerous machines. And I'm okay. I'm fine. I'm just saying I was pissed because if I had, you know, like I said, if I had done that anywhere else, I don't think I would have cut myself. But because the escalator is so fucking sharp.
And you had to use the public restroom at the mall to clean your hand.
Oh, yeah. My hand was bleeding. There was blood coming down my arm. It was terrible. Oh, my God. It was like, you know, I just had finished a glorious day of shopping at one of my favorite stores, Sephora. Everyone knows I love Sephora, which, by the way, not to like get sidetracked. And I promise we'll get to our usual opening in a second. I found a vegan collagen serum, which for, you know, our listeners of a certain age, you know, collagen, you know, it helps, you know, with the fine lines and the wrinkles and, you know, as I'm a Gen X person. I'm, you know, in my middle age. And but the collagen is usually made from like animal shit. But there is a company now doing vegan collagen called Alginist. And I got it at Sephora. It's a little expensive, but we'll see if it works. It says that I should start seeing results in 10 days. So in 10 days, I might have a whole new face.
This week's episode is brought to you by, what's it called?
I wish they would sponsor the podcast, Alginist. But anyway, that's my story. All right, now, Miko, let's get serious. Let's talk about what's been going on this week in the world of politics. I want to start out with Biden's announcement earlier this week that the government is going to forgive student debt. Not all the student debt, but this is really significant. He said that they are making it so that if you have up to $10,000 in student debt and you make less than $125,000 a year, the government will forgive that $10,000. It also forgives up to $20,000 for Pell Grants, which are federal grants given to students going to school. And I think this is fantastic. I mean, he campaigned on this. Now, I think a lot of people were hoping he would just forgive student debt altogether, which would have been incredible. But at least this gives people some help who are drowning in student debt. I mean, people, you know, graduate high school, they want to further their education. Let's be real. I mean, I know that the university I went to, which I graduated college in the 90s, it's more than twice as expensive as it was when I went there. So people are graduating college, sometimes hundreds of thousands of dollars in debt. So I think this goes a long way to helping people. What do you think?
It absolutely does. And it's just unbelievable to me that anyone would be against this, because I don't think people realize, you know, we talk about when we talk about predatory lending, we often think about like the adjustable rate mortgages and things like that. But I don't know if people realize that student loan debt is one of the only categories of debt that you can't get out of. You can't declare bankruptcy to erase the debt. I don't know what brilliant invention that was. And it also is one of these compounding interest loans where when people say, well, if you borrow money, you should pay it back. Yes, well, people have paid it back. They've paid some people more than twice, three times the amount that they borrowed, but the interest has been accumulating because they apply the payments you make to the interest first. So this is a huge thing. I read that it was something like 500,000 African-American households basically are for the first time not in debt because of this, because of...
Wow.
And it's a huge difference for people.
Yeah, I mean, it is going to help millions of Americans. And, you know, this is very different than when I was in school. I also had a ton of student debt when I graduated college, not as much as people nowadays. But I also was able to take a Sallie Mae loan at the time, which had very low interest. That's not the case nowadays, from what I understand. Like you said, there's a lot of predatory lenders out there that are charging people exorbitant amounts in interest. So you're paying all this money and really you're not even touching the principal. You're only paying interest to some shitty bank.
Yeah, and I saw that, you know, of course, predictably, people on the right started saying, oh, you know, oh, I see, you went to Harvard and got some useless degree, blah, blah, blah. Now you get, you know, your loans paid off. No, and first of all, I read this week that something like only 2% of people who go to Harvard.
Elizabeth Warren, who I absolutely live for. I love Elizabeth Warren. I voted for her in the Democratic primary. I love her.
So did I.
She went on Jake Tapper this week with a fucking flamethrower. And she was like, oh, all these people saying that this is going to just help, you know, Ivy League people who are now on Wall Street or at, you know, some crazy law firm or whatever they're doing. She said, no. She said, you know, the percentage of Harvard undergraduates who borrowed money, it's 2%. 2%. She said that number goes up to 50% for a state university. And for historically black colleges, that goes up to 80%. So you see that this is going to help a lot of people in this country, and specifically minorities in the country.
Yeah, that's why, of course, the right-wing people are upset.
Well,
I mean, it always comes down to that.
I will say this. It was my delight. I know who took over. I wish I knew her name. I should have looked at it before the show. There is a Governor Murphy from New Jersey. One of his staffers was hired by the White House to run their Twitter. And let me tell you something. This makes me so proud to be from New Jersey because this woman took to the White House Twitter this week and absolutely scorched these right-wing assholes who were going on all the news shows saying how this is so unfair and that everyone should have to pay their debts if they borrow money. I'm talking people like Marjorie Taylor Greene, Matt Gaetz, like the worst of the worst, these assholes. Well, she used the White House Twitter this week to call all these fuckers out because a lot of these people took PPP loans during the pandemic and had those loans forgiven. So let me just read from the White House Twitter. Okay, Marjorie Taylor Greene, she had $183,000 forgiven from her PPP loan. Some douchebag, Congressman Vern Buchanan, he had over $2.3 million forgiven from his PPP loan. Let's keep going here. Another asshole, Congressman Kevin Hern, had over $1 million forgiven of his PPP loans. Mike Kelly, $987,000. Oh, and Matt Gaetz, $482,000. We're talking about forgiving $10,000, and these fuckers have had hundreds of thousands, sometimes over $1 million, $2 million, forgiven by the government. And they're coming for students who took out money to fund their college education?
And
fuck off.
Each of these pieces of shit were taking their full salary during the pandemic. What are you getting PPP loans for?
Can you believe these hypocrites? So I was thrilled to see the White House Twitter, you know, use its platform to call these assholes out and to call out their hypocrisy, because it really is. So basically what you're saying is it's okay for you to not pay back your debts when you have hundreds of thousands of dollars that were given to you by the government. But a college student who's paying all this interest, whatever, you're against them getting $10,000 back. You're a pathetic piece of shit. Like, there's just no other way to talk about it. I'm absolutely horrified by these
people.
And think
about how many of these people are these, you know, self-proclaimed Christians. I saw some funny things that people were tweeting and said, you know what, Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead was unfair to all the people who had died, or, you know, Jesus changing, you know, feeding the crowd with, you know, fish and loaves was, you know, unfair to those who brought their own lunch. It's like, again, where is the spirit of accepting the fact that, you know, there are many government subsidies and programs that help types of
you want to talk
things.
About the meat and dairy industry that get billions of dollars
I was going to say
of
more
government funding
I was
every
just going to say more things like talking that affect you know, people directly, like, you know, first-time homeowners programs or rebates for electric cars. You know, not everyone gets that money, but it helps society at large. But of course, heaven forbid that we help minorities in this country. Then these, you know,
look,
worthless right-wing people, you know, come out of the woodwork.
At the end of the day, all of us should want an educated society. An educated society is going to benefit the whole country, okay?
Well, they don't want an educated society because people would, you know, come through their bullshit, like, see through it instantly.
Right, right. But, you know, the truth is, you know, all these people on the right calling this socialism, I just have to fucking laugh. Again, it's like, so it's socialism when it helps everyday Americans, but all of a sudden it's not socialism when it's trillions of dollars of tax cuts for the super wealthy, or when it's subsidies for the meat and dairy industry or the oil industry.
Or
so that's not socialism.
Or it's your own fucking ass taking hundreds of thousands of dollars and never paying it back.
Right. So it's only socialism when it helps everyday Americans. That's fascinating. And to everyone in, you know, the older generations who've paid off their student loans, like I have, I don't have any debt anymore, who are bitter over this, shut the fuck up. Like, I'm sorry, but especially if you're 65 or older, let's be real. When you were coming of age, a house was like $10 and a college education was like $5. I mean, let's just be honest about how much the cost of living has increased, everything from healthcare to home prices to college education, everything. You can't compare someone who, you know, 40 years ago was starting out to someone who's starting out today. The deck is absolutely stacked against people in a way that it wasn't 40 or 50 years ago. So don't don't direct your bitterness at those people. Be thankful that you came of age at a time where it was easier to, you know, to afford things.
And then we have people like Mitt Romney and Ted Cruz who are saying things like, oh, this is bribing voters or mocking people getting degrees. These are two men who came from wealth, who got elite educations, and yet now try to pretend to be, I don't know what exactly, but are basically saying that becoming educated is somehow elitist and unnecessary. It's just, I really don't understand, you know, why there are so many people clamoring to keep the country stupid if it isn't to make sure that they fall for Republican bullshit.
I mean, like I said, we all benefit from having an educated society. It's better for innovation. It's better for business. It's better for every, you know, every facet of public life. You know, so I mean, it's nothing against people who don't want to get a college education, but I'm just saying I firmly believe that we should have more of a system like they do in Europe, where a lot of European countries, university education is paid for. And I think it only benefits us as a society. I think that we should move towards a system where anyone who wants to get a college education should be able to get that for free. I think in today's world, you know, the reality is for a lot of professions, you need that. Again, it's not like it was 50 or 60 years ago where a high school degree got you into certain fields. It's harder now. It just is. So I do think it would benefit us as a country to move in that direction. I mean, I just don't think we're going to get there anytime soon. But I think that what Biden did this week, it does help. And I think that's important.
It's huge. When you think about, you know, as we say every week, the most legislatively consequential president since LBJ.
I mean, a lot of people are saying that, you know, Biden got his groove back. You know, I mean, he passed the IRA. Then there was this student loan forgiveness. Now he's talking about taking up DACA and making so that is a federal he's not going to pass a law, but he's going to do something federally to protect the Dreamers. I mean, he's really stepping up to the plate. I mean, I don't know if this is like because all of a sudden someone whispered to him that the midterms are around the corner, but he really is, you know, doing a lot at the moment. And I think a lot of people are taking notice of that. His poll numbers jumped this week.
And I also love that he's calling out Republicans for obstruction by name. You know, it's no longer, oh, Congress, this, Congress, that. It's Republicans.
Right.
Put the blame where it belongs. And when people try to come for him and say, is it unfair? He fires back and says, I don't know. Do you think it's fair to give tax cuts only to trillionaires?
Oh, I loved, he was at a press conference this week and he did. He just threw it right back at the journalist who asked him that. And I appreciate that fire. I really do. Well, speaking of Republicans, I wanted to talk about one more thing this week, which is that a judge ordered the government to release the affidavit that led to the search of Mar-a-Lago. And this affidavit, it really does, I think, even make it seem more and more damning for Trump. Most of this affidavit was redacted, but it seems like, I don't want to speak too early, but it seems like there's just so much evidence against Trump right now that he, you know, stole and harbored top secret government documents that were kept in an unsecured location at his trashy hotel in Florida, where we now know that a lot of people had access to these files and whatever. I mean, I just have to ask, you know, if we had top secret, potentially nuclear secrets in our apartment here in Los Angeles, do you think that we would be given as much lenience as Trump has been given up to this point? I mean, why has he not been indicted? They have the evidence. They have the files. What more needs to actually happen to indict this criminal motherfucker?
I mean, we learned so much about this affidavit. And if, you know, in case people haven't followed this closely or are not aware, this is basically the government's supporting document before a search warrant is issued, showing that they have probable cause that a crime has taken place. And in this case, we know that one thing that was of particular concern to the intelligence community is that Trump had files that contain our government's single most sensitive compartmented secrets on human intelligence sources. And if you remember...
So CIA agents in the field, right.
So basically foreign agents who are working in you know, highly secret capacities, very high in foreign governments, who are essential intelligence sources, that some of the data that Trump was in possession of would compromise their identities. And this is falls under the SCIF classification, where you're not even allowed to have these documents outside a secure facility. You're not allowed to look at them having any electronic or digital devices. That's how sensitive they are. And these fucking things were in hallways and random rooms at Mar-a-Lago where anyone could go by them. And I just want to call our attention back to October 2021, when the nation's top intelligence service warned every CIA station and base that American assets were being lost, killed, executed, compromised. And this is 8 months after Trump left office. It had started while he was in office, but doesn't this raise the question of what he might have been doing with that information? We learned this week that there was a young woman, a Russian speaker, which is apparently all it takes to get into the inner circle of the Republican Party, who had infiltrated Mar-a-Lago with fake passports, claimed she was a member of the Rothschild family, which is such a ludicrous claim. It's like saying, well, I'm a Windsor, and here I am. And several people testified that at Mar-a-Lago, you could just walk pretty freely. You know, here they are. Oh, what's box next to the storage room? Oh, it's only America's fucking spy list.
I'm sure our foreign adversaries were thrilled to learn that the only thing you would need to get access to top secret American information is a golf club membership. I mean, it's absolutely insane to me that this is what we're talking about. It's absolutely insane to me that the Republican Party is still defending this. And
they literally
are
saying, nobody cares. Who cares? They show us the documents. That's not how any of this works. We also learned that Trump was flying around with these files, you know, put in between magazines, going to foreign countries, countries that are adversaries of ours.
It's absolutely, it's just craziness. And again, I do have faith in Merrick Garland and the Justice Department, but this needs to happen. You know, like I said, if any other American was in possession of these documents and there was all of this criminality around, they'd be under arrest at this point. And I think it's a really sad statement of our justice system that Donald Trump has not been charged with anything yet. I mean, like I said, they have the files. They know he had them. They know he had them illegally. They shouldn't have been outside of a secured location. Why is he not being charged with the crime? There are other people who have gone to prison for far less than what he's already done.
Even just mishandling. There was a story that was going around this week. Someone mishandled one document marked secret, which is a classification far lower than some of the stuff that Trump had ferreted away as he was leaving. Also, we have evidence of obstruction. They lied about what kind of documents they had. They lied about them having been returned. He should be in custody. Everyone who had contact with the fucking documents or was anywhere near them or knew about it should be in custody. They are, you know, it's insane. We have
a guy who's a clear
and present danger to our national security.
Yes.
And instead of finally saying, oh, this is a bridge too far, the entirety of the Republican establishment is rushing to defend him and saying, oh, who cares about our nuclear secrets
and our
human intelligence sources?
Not just rushing to defend him. Some of them are threatening civil war. But I think, you know, I was thinking about this today and I was like, I don't understand why these Republicans would literally threaten civil war over Donald Trump. And then I was like, you know what? It's not over Donald Trump. It's over what Donald Trump represents, which is white supremacy. That's why they want to threaten civil war. It's the fact that he is the face of white supremacy in America. And that's what they're fighting to keep. So they will threaten civil war for that. It's not specifically for him. And at this point, I am really entrusting the Justice Department to do its job, uphold the rule of law, and indict this criminal motherfucker.
Yeah, I mean, if we find out that, all these, you know, compartmented sensitive documents, did he retain copies? They're probably on his iPhone, ready to email to any world leader with, you know, money to pay for them.
It's a mess. Okay, and just one more thing before we move on to new vegan products, which is I wanted to ask you, Miko, about this Artemis mission. Everyone knows you're a big space enthusiast. We sometimes talk about outer space on the show. And there's a big launch happening tomorrow with the rocket or something that's going to the moon. What's happening?
Yes. So I believe around 8:33 a.m. Eastern, if everything goes according to plan, NASA is launching Artemis 1, which is basically an uncrewed test flight for a program which will ultimately return people on the moon.
So this is doesn't have people on it. It's going to go study some shit, come back, and then we're going to start sending people back to the moon?
Yes, it's the test of a new rocket system, and Orion is the capsule, will basically go into lunar orbit and then come back to Earth.
Now, why are we going back to the moon? What's happening?
I believe that the ultimate long-term goal is to establish some kind of permanent settlement, some sort of base on the moon toward future launches to Mars. It's obviously much easier to take off from the moon. I mean, I don't know how quickly there will be a permanent presence, but I think it is, you know, or maybe build a robotic, you know, what do you call it? You know, use robots to build some sort of base for future launches and things like that.
Interesting. I have no interest in going to the moon, personally. But maybe you want to go.
When it's a little bit simpler. I mean, I'd love to see the moon one day. I don't know that I'll make it.
All right. We'll be... you know what? I'll check in with you periodically. You can tell us how Artemis is doing and
live
what it's
from
discovering.
The moon.
Right.
It's the...
All right, Miko, with that, let's move on and taste some new vegan products.
Let's do it.
All right. Yay, new vegan products. Okay, so today we are tasting the vegan fried chicken fillets by VFC. Now, I believe that VFC stands for vegan fried chicken. And this is the company that's UK-based that was founded by one of the founders of Veganuary. I've spoken about Veganuary on the show before. I love that campaign. It's the campaign where they try and get people to go vegan for the month of January. I think it's so smart. It's had a lot of growth over the last 5, 6, 7 years. And like I said, one of the founders of that campaign created this plant-based product. There are two fillets per packaging. This looks like a wheat-based product. And per serving, let's talk about that. One fillet has 17 grams of protein. Wow. 10 grams of fat, 750 milligrams of sodium. That's up there. You know, for those of us watching the sodium. But Miko, why don't you tell us how you prepare this?
Super easy. You just put this in the oven for about 24 minutes, flipping midway.
Wow. All right. Well, it looks delicious. Let's taste this and tell everybody what we think.
Delicious.
Oh my God. All right. Oh my God.
Very buttery.
That is delicious. Oh my God. They knocked this motherfucker out the park. I mean, do you remember we tried that Better Chew? That was also really good. I don't know which one I liked better, the Better Chew or this. They're both, like, seriously delicious. And what I love about this is how crispy it is. Like, and you didn't fry it. You just put it in the oven.
This is just in the oven. And I want to compliment the breading.
Yes.
It has a kind of a nice, again, you know, when you have breaded vegan chicken products, sometimes the breading falls off. Not so
not
here.
Not this. This is great.
This is one of those products that if you... gave this to your non-vegan friends, their minds will be blown.
Wow. What did they bread this shit with? Because that is delicious. I can't believe it. Like, honestly, I'm just shocked that this is not, this is not something you would, you know, if I got this at a restaurant or whatever, I'd be like, oh, but this is a frozen product and this is so good. If you made a chicken sandwich with this shit, oh my God, I can think of all the things you could, or you could slice it up and put it in a salad or in pasta. That is really, really good and packed with flavor.
I see many, many buffalo chicken sandwiches in my future made with this product.
Oh.
What a spectacular A+.
100%. I mean, what I love about it too is the juxtaposition of that really crispy coating, but then the inside is like tender and moist and has great texture. And then the flavor is there. Like you said, it's very buttery. It's very savory. That's real. I'm really impressed. Again, this is called VFC, and it's their vegan fried chicken fillets. Wow, what an A-plus product. Miko, what do you give it?
I'm giving it the same.
All right, well, there you have it. What do you say we move on and do some vegan animal rights news?
Let's do it.
All right. Okay, everybody, it is time for vegan animal rights news. First story. All right, my first story is a sad story, but I want to do it and get it out of the way. I like to do the sad stuff first. Okay. A Foster Farms semi filled with chickens overturned after a crash near Fresno, California. Now, I mentioned in a recent podcast about another accident that happened with these trucks that transport animals. This is something that happens all the time. And the reason why I'm bringing this up is because I want to draw attention to the fact that animals don't just suffer while they're on factory farms. They also suffer in transport. And this is all for meat, dairy, and eggs. And I want to also point out that in this news article, I don't have the outlet here, but in this news article, literally it says there were no injuries reported.
Ridiculous.
This is a local Fox affiliate. No injuries reported, even though Lord knows how many chickens. I mean, the picture is so horrifying. There's all these dead chickens, injured chickens, mangled chickens on the side of the road. This whole thing's turned over. No injuries reported, everybody. So there you go. I guess everything's fine. But again, I bring it up because we should not be supporting this. So if this upsets you, just don't eat meat, dairy, and eggs. You know, eat the other stuff. Okay. All right, next story. There was a new study done by Japanese researchers that showed that dogs cry with happiness when they're reunited with their humans.
We needed a study to know this?
This is, well, I don't think that, I mean, we know that dogs are happy, but I don't think we knew that they actually cried tears of joy when they're...
Oh, they cry tears?
Yeah, that's what I was saying. Yeah, they actually produce tears. That's why, and they're saying that the dogs that were studied, they have more of a production of tears when they're reunited with their humans. And they're saying that this is because when dogs are reunited with their people, they release oxytocin, which is a happy hormone. They call it the bonding hormone. So I think that this is just further evidence that our animals really love us. I mean, who could deny that? Very sweet. Okay, next story. There was another study done, this time by New World Animal Protection and a group called Navius Research, that showed that if Canadians were to reduce their meat consumption by 80%, Canada would meet its 2050 climate target of net zero.
Wow.
Yeah. Now, of course, Canadians would actually have to do this, but I think that it really goes a long way to showing how much of a detrimental effect meat consumption has on our environment. So, you know, there's not much that we can do at an individual level. I think that when it comes to climate change, most of this has to be systemic. Most of this has to be, you know, where we get our energy from and the transportation sector. There's a lot of that, but we can choose what we eat. And it would really go a long way if a majority of us chose to eat plants instead of animals and animal products. So I love that this study was done. I hope a lot of people take it to heart and actually change the way they eat, because it could really go a long way to help stopping the worst of climate change from taking effect. I mean, we're already seeing the horrible effects of climate change now. We're seeing riverbeds dry up all over the world. We're seeing these crazy flash floods. I mean, it's been another summer of disasters.
Yeah, think about what happened in Texas. Texas went from a historic drought to a huge flash flood that basically took over Dallas without warning. And people should remember, when we talk about climate change, this is the best it's going to be like.
Yeah.
It's only going to get worse from here. I feel like there's something about, we've known for such a long time that people switching to a plant-based diet would be enormously beneficial toward curbing the worst of climate change. And instead, it's always being played down. I feel like even in UN reports, it's buried somewhere in there. It's like, maybe people should be given a choice. It's like, well, they do have this choice, which is keep eating what you're eating and, you know, bequeath to future generations a dead planet, for human civilization at least, unlivable, or start making some fucking changes.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, the truth is, the stuff out there, like the impossible foods, the beyond, all the, like, it tastes just as good. You can still have the flavor of your burgers, of your chicken, of your cheese, whatever you eat, the ice cream, and you don't have to get it from animals. It's very easy.
If there was any sense in the way that food is subsidized, the government would subsidize plant-based foods so that it's more affordable
right.
for people to eat that and then tax the shit out of meat.
Well, if there was any justice in this world, because not just from a climate change standpoint from it, but for also from an animal cruelty standpoint. This kind of goes along with my next story, actually, which is that it's a little bit of celebrity news. Billie Eilish and her mom, Maggie Baird, are being acknowledged by the Environmental Media Association. They're having their annual award ceremony in October, and they're specifically acknowledging Billie Eilish for her promotion of plant-based eating. You know, this is something that she talks about often. This is something that she's done, like, with her concerts, selling, you know, certain plant-based alternatives to meat. What I find so interesting about this story is that the Environmental Media Association is a local group. I mean, they're right here in L.A. They do a very fancy event every year. And I've actually been to a couple of these events. And I'm telling you right now, when I have been to these events, and it wasn't that long ago, I'm talking about maybe 4 or 5 years ago, they were serving Kobe beef. They were serving all sorts of seafood and fish. I mean, this was not a vegan event by any stretch. So I hope that the people who run the EMA, that they have finally gotten the message that meat, dairy, and eggs don't mix with being environmentally friendly. And I hope that's why they're acknowledging Billie Eilish and her mother. And I hope that the event is going to be all vegan.
Yeah, if it's not, you're making a complete mockery of what you're supposed to be doing.
Can you imagine if Billie Eilish shows up to this event with her mom? And, you know, after all the work that she's done talking about how she's vegan and talking about, and then they're like serving Kobe beef. I mean, I was horrified when I went to this event. It was a very fancy event in one of the studios. I couldn't believe it. I could not believe it. I was like, I can't believe that an organization that calls itself the Environmental Media Association is serving red meat, is serving seafood. I just couldn't believe it. So hopefully they've gotten the message. Let's hope. People can change. Okay, also in celebrity news, Lizzo is now partnering with Instacart, and she is doing this new program with her called Carts, where celebrities, influencers, creators, brands, they release their shopping list. And her shopping list features a lot of her favorite vegan grocery items.
Yum.
I love it. So I don't know if Lizzo is 100% vegan, but she's definitely vegan positive, and she posts a lot about veganism on her TikTok. So some of her favorites include the Impossible Burger plant-based meats. She also has the Ben & Jerry's Vegan Cherry Garcia ice cream on there. She has some other thing. She has something called Uncrustables peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. So she's inspiring her fans to buy more vegan products, and I'm here for it. Thank you, Lizzo. Yeah. Okay, next story. Burger King is in the news. They gave away 10,000 vegan Whoppers for National Burger Day.
How did that go?
I guess pretty well. This was in the UK, and this was part of a promotion that they're doing called Whopper Swapper, where they're trying to encourage their customers to switch out the beef burger for the plant-based one.
Good. Maybe all right, Burger King will become the chain that will go vegan entirely.
Who knows? But thank you, Burger King. Okay, also in Burger King news, they are testing a plant-based version of its original chicken sandwich, and this is going to be made with a new Impossible Foods product, which is a chicken patty.
Mm.
They're testing this in Cincinnati, Ohio. And usually what happens with these things is they'll test it in a market or in a couple markets, and if it does really well, they roll it out nationwide. So let's hope that Burger King brings their plant-based chicken sandwich to the masses. That would be great. And I'd love to get my hands on some of this Impossible Foods chicken. I've tried their chicken nuggets. And
those were very good.
Yeah, those were pretty good. I'd love to try their chicken patty. So maybe they'll bring that to supermarkets one day. Okay, next story. Atlanta's Slutty Vegan, which is probably the most famous vegan restaurant in the world at this point, they are going to be opening a New York outpost this fall.
Yum.
Yes, it's going to be in Brooklyn. So if you're in New York or in, you know, the tri-state area, make sure to check out Slutty Vegan when it comes to Brooklyn this fall. I can't wait to go there. So when we're back on the East Coast and we go up to the city, we'll have to try this out and tell everybody what we thought. Okay, next story. In new vegan product news, Mary's Gone Crackers is releasing a new product. This is a vegan Cheez-Its product.
Mm.
Now, there is a company that was doing this not too long ago, because I remember getting my hands on like a vegan Cheez-Its and they were so good. And I don't know how many listeners are familiar with Mary's Gone Crackers, but they're the ones that do all the gluten-free crackers and they're very crunchy. They're delicious, actually. I really like their products. So I say we try and find this stuff and taste it on the show. It's going to be called Mary's Gone Cheesy. So, okay. Let's see if we can get our hands on some Mary's Gone Cheesy and taste it on the show.
Can't wait.
Did you eat Cheez-Its before you were vegan? Was that a thing that you would?
I think so.
And you like them? Yeah. They're good. They're addictive. Okay. All right. Next story. Abe's is in the news. Also new vegan product news. Abe's is the company that does all those vegan cakes, like the vegan coffee cake. They have a vegan chocolate fudge cake. I don't know how widely available they are. I think they sell Abe's at Whole Foods, but damn, their shit is top notch. We sometimes get their coffee cake.
Oh, it's so good.
And girl, it's so good. Okay. So they are partnering with Minions. Apparently, there's a new Minions movie. It's a Universal picture. Minions, The Rise of Gru. And they are partnering with them and doing vegan mini muffins in a banana chip flavor. So look out for Abe's mini banana chip vegan muffins. Yum. Okay, next story. Oh, this is interesting. Remember when we talked about the new vegan jerky by the South Korean company?
Yeah.
Unlimit, except it's spelled Unlimit. It's like
yeah.
Vegans with these names. Okay, so anyway, Unlimit. I don't know if I'm saying that right. They're not just doing vegan jerky. They also announced that they're going to be introducing vegan deli slices, such as pepperoni and mortadella.
I love it. This is just me. I may be wrong, but I would think there's a bigger market for vegan lunch meats than for jerky, but maybe I'm wrong.
Well, you wouldn't know it because, honestly, the vegan jerky is everywhere. I mean, there's so many different kinds at this point. Just to give our listeners some excitement, we did get our hands on the Unlimit vegan jerky, and we're going to taste it on a future episode. I was actually able to get it right off of Amazon, so I can't wait to try it on the show. Okay, also in new vegan product news, Coffee Mate has just released two new plant-based creamers. These are made from almond and oat milk, and they come in two flavors, French vanilla and caramel.
Mm.
Yummy. Thank you, Coffee Mate. Okay, there's also a new vegan pizza on the market. I'm assuming this is a frozen product. This is by Wicked Kitchen. They are releasing three vegan pizzas that you can buy at the supermarket. They come in one called, these are the varieties, the Wicked Meaty, the Saucy Mott's, and the Rule Breaking Rustic Veg.
Mm.
Have we tried any of Wicked Foods' stuff?
I don't know off the top of my head. The brand name sounds familiar.
Yeah,
but I'm not
sure.
I
don't think that we've tried this stuff. But anyway, it's a UK-based company, but I know they sell now in the United States. So let's see if we can locate their products. I feel like I've seen them at Target. I could be wrong.
Let's check it out.
But let's see if we can find their pizza and taste it on the show, because pizza is your favorite food.
It is. It's a perfect food.
Okay. And my last story of the week. Vegan Kit Kats are finally returning to the UK.
fabulous.
Where did they go? Okay, this story I'm excited about, but it also makes me kind of bitter because growing up, Kit Kat was one of my favorites. I love Kit Kat. And I don't understand why they only have Kit Kat, you know, the vegan version, in the UK, why they haven't brought that to the United States. This article also says that 14 other countries in Europe will be getting the vegan Kit Kat, and that Nestle, which makes Kit Kat, Nestle's a piece of shit company, everyone, so I don't want to give them too much credit, but Nestle, who makes Kit Kat, they specifically did this to reduce the carbon footprint of the product. They said that a vegan Kit Kat is responsible for 18% less carbon emissions than the original. So if they can get this in the UK and in 14 other European countries, why can't we get the vegan Kit Kat here in the United States?
Go to change.org, start a petition.
Maybe I need to do it. I would really be into vegan Kit Kat, everybody. It's delicious. But all right, well, there you have it. Our last story of the week and the end of another show. Miko, I want to thank you so much for coming.
Thank you for having me.
And I want to thank everyone so much for listening. We love doing the show and we love you guys. If you would like to catch up with me or with Miko during the week, please feel free to do that on Twitter. I can be found at VeganAri and Miko can be found at Miko Alon, or you can always use our hashtag VeganAriShow. And remember, if you enjoy our podcast, please consider leaving us a review and subscribing on Apple or Spotify or wherever you consume your podcast. You can just also hit that 5-star thing. That helps. So thank you for that. And just one last thing before we let you guys go. We are always trying to get more listeners and subscribers. So if you wouldn't mind helping us out in that effort, we would be so thankful. Whatever you can do, if you want to retweet me when I tweet about the show, thank you. I love that. If you want to make your own social media post about the show, that also helps. I thank you. If you want to post about it in a Facebook group or Reddit or wherever, you want to post about it on Tinder, I love that. Thank you. If you want to spend a little bit of money and take out some TV ads or bus ads or billboards or, you know, whatever, we love that as well, and we appreciate that. To the person who took out the Oscar ad, I'm just kidding. No one's taken out an Oscar ad yet, Miko, but they might. I keep telling them, I have a lot of things that we could use for costume changes. Miko has a whole closet full of wigs. I think we could really bring it. So if you want to fund a commercial, reach out to us. With that, though, we will sign off. We'll wish everyone a great week. Miko, any parting words?
You can also follow me on Twitter if you want.
Just you?
Well, you as
what
well.
What is going on here? All right, enough with Miko. Everybody, have a wonderful...
At Miko alone. Just
you have a wonderful week. And if we don't hear from you, we will chat with you next weekend. Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye, guys. I know what I came to do.